Via after a couple of weeks, and I have got a special treat for everybody out there in the stratosphere tonight. That special treat being my new partner on this show, Beer Bruja. Everybody give a warm welcome, a warm toast to Miss Beer Bruja.
Oh, thank you. I would rather a cold toast, though. I mean, warm beer.
You know, that's true. I wasn't even thinking. What was I thinking? I'll tell you what I was thinking. I'm nursing a super hurtful left ear right now, and that's what I was thinking about.
What happened?
I don't know. I was at work today and my ear started hurting. So I had one of the doctors look in it and she said, yeah, it's inflamed. And we just pretty much left it at that.
We just like, all right, well, then I can go home, right?
Right. I'm like, I know you're not my boss, but can you just send me home because I'm hurting?
Note or something.
Right. Yeah. So, like I said, I have a new partner now, and she actually, interesting fact about Beer Bruja, she is mostly, up until now, a wine drinker. Am I right?
You are correct to a point. I am a wine drinker and a mixed drink drinker. So any of like the frou-frou drinks, love me some frou-frou drinks. Give me a good old margarita any day of the week. I will drink that sucker down.
You know, I love me a good margarita. I mean, I'm not going to lie, but I don't like salt on the rim because I'm a salty bitch already, so I don't need any extra help.
So what you're saying is just leave the salt off and put in some extra limes.
That and sugar me around the rim because I love me some sugar. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I could go either way on that.
Yeah.
I could go either way, but as long as there's, you know, a good amount of tequila in the margarita, I am good to go.
G2G indeed. Mm. Now, I thought since this was Beer Bruja's first, her foray into, you know, the Beer Baroness podcast, which obviously the name's going to have to change because, you know, it's not, it's no longer just, you know, me. You're no longer just going to hear me on here. You're going to hear her. Thank God, because I have to talk to myself about, honestly.
Well, I re-listened to your podcast from, was it last week or the week prior? Your podcast cut out. And when I was listening to it, it made it kind of sound like I'm supposed to be the responsible one and leading you back onto the trail. And I'm like, shoot, I'm going to be driving us off this trail and we're going to take so many back roads.
Well, I'm happy you said that because I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, I'm in a class right now, this business class, which I don't know what in the hell I've got any business taking a business class for, but I did learn a little bit about myself. I had some people at work rate me as well. And so I really can't bring a conversation back around successfully, if that makes sense.
Well, I know how that goes. I've done that before, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a real problem with that. So, you know, you don't have to be the responsible one, Thank Beer Bruja. Just, right. Just, we'll just go off road. We'll just go off trail and we'll have a good time.
Well, that sounds like a plan. And if you hear noise in the background here, I have got a 75-pound golden retriever that thinks it's a good time to chew on her little squeaky toy, and because it's about 4,000 degrees here still in northern Kentucky, my air conditioner is still running, and it's going to be a little noisy, but...
Oh, that's fine. I hear it. I'm down here in my basement. That way no one will bother me because I have a lot of people in my house, including some dogs that like to bother me. And I just let my dog out before we started this podcast, actually. And I think you did the same thing.
Yeah, so at least now she's not going to be like bugging me to go outside. Hopefully she'll just lay there and be chill for a while.
Right. I mean, you could offer her a drink. I mean, I've offered my dachshund a drink. She's not really a drinker. She's more of a coffee drinker.
She likes, my dog likes ice. She likes chewing on ice, and then she likes leaving pieces of it on the carpet for me to step in with my socks on. And
Right. That's always fun.
Did she have an accident, or is this her ice from earlier? Or did I spill something?
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, since this is your first review, I gave the reins to Beer Brewha to pick which beer we were going to review. And I know I said in my last podcast that I was going to start reviewing the Oktoberfest beers right now because, you know, we're getting into that time of year. But we ended up doing one from Rheingeist. If you want to go ahead and give your thoughts on what you chose.
Sure. So, actually I have not opened mine as of yet. I wanted this to be fresh out the can. So the one that I chose by Rheingeist was Bubbles Rosé Ale, and it's got apple, peach, and cranberry. Can art. I'm looking at the can right now, and kind of like how you had said on a previous podcast, it's got that skull that looks like a teardrop or like a water droplet, but on the front of it,
yeah,
the skull is kind of stylized more like an apple. So I'm wondering if this is going to taste kind of cidery. I'll tell you right now, one of the things that kind of kept me from getting into beer was the fact that my previous beer experiences were not very pleasing at all, because my palate tends towards the sweeter stuff, and that's kind of what caught my eye with this. When I went shopping the other night, was, ooh, that looks kind of cidery. Maybe it'll taste sweet and cidery. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. The can art, it's pretty plain. It's kind of like a pinkish color, almost like a salmon or a grapefruit. And it is 6.2% ABV, 12-ounce can. And the back of it says, a bright, dry, and lithe rosé ale with apple, peach, and cranberry for tartness and blush. Bubbles erupts with effervescence and evanescence. So I'm wondering if we're going to hear some evanescence going on here.
You mean like, wake me up inside.
That one.
Right. I mean, that's right. Exactly. Because I've had bubbles before, and when I read that on the can, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes.
Was evanescence.
So this here, I don't know if this matters at all, but this one was canned earlier this year, a couple months ago. It was May 30th, batch 300272. And then I don't know if you know what this means, but as I'm looking at the bottom of the can, it says Meow X Vroom.
What?
I swear to God.
What'd you call me?
I'm looking at the bottom of it, and it's got the can date, it's got the batch number, and then Meow X Vroom. I don't know if somebody was just like a dull day at work or what.
Okay, so I've never honestly looked at the bottom of a can. So let me, so I'm reviewing, and I won't get into my review yet, but I'm reviewing Little Bubs, which is the cousin of Bubbles. And I've never had it before tonight. And on the bottom of my can, it says canned March 18th of this year, batch, and some of my numbers are smudged, and I could care less which batch it came out of, as long as it gets down my throat, you know. But mine says madness on the bottom of the can.
Maybe in a future podcast, we need to reach out to the Rheingeist people and ask them, what the hell does that mean on the bottom of your cans?
Right. Like, I almost feel like it was fate that I got this can, because it says madness on the bottom of it. Like, you know, yeah. I've been descending into madness for years now. So,
well, let me go ahead and I will open mine up here.
Yeah, and let's hear it. Let's hear what it tastes.
Well, I went ahead
like.
And put both my glass and the can in the fridge, so be nice and chilled. So I'm gonna go all over the place.
Oh yeah.
Alrighty, I'm gonna pour it now. Okay. Ooh, it's pink.
Ooh. Pretty and pink, isn't
indeed
she?
Very live, I think.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of bubbles. I can see where the name comes from. It's almost kind of like, even the bubbles are pink. I'm already excited.
Ooh.
This is awesome. So, okay. Let me smell it. Ooh, it smells good too. It smells like a cider. So let's see. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my first drink. Oh my goodness. That is delicious.
You like it?
Yes, I do. And I'm glad I've got 5 more in my fridge. It does.
Have
that tart taste to it, kind of like that cranberry taste to it. I can definitely taste the apple. I can definitely taste the cranberry. I don't think I taste the peach in there. Let me try it again. Nope. Oh. I don't taste any peach in it, but I definitely taste the apple and the cranberry. Like, if I didn't know from looking at the can that it was a rosé ale, so it's, you know, a beer, you could have poured that to me and not showed me what you were pouring it from, and I've been like, oh, that's a good cider. Like, I would have thought it was an Angry Orchard or something.
That is a...
So, yeah, that's high praise coming from me. I'm gonna try some more.
So there, Beer Bruja, I had some connection issues, it looked like.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good.
I'm still drinking. But yeah, as a person who loves... Yeah, you were cutting out too.
Okay.
But yeah, as a person who likes ciders, because, you know, again, I tend towards that sweeter end of the palate as opposed to the bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this. I think this was kind of like... And I think you'd kind of alluded to this in your last podcast that you and I were going to be getting together and kind of like discussing some ideas for the future podcasts and everything. So
yeah,
we had gotten together and that was my first try at a craft beer. Was there at the 859 Tap Room and Grill,
mm-hmm.
Florence, Kentucky, and did a flight and kind of like how I was going, oh my gosh, with that Spyglass by Urban Artifact.
Oh yeah.
This is right up there with that.
Awesome. I'm glad you found another one that you like then.
So this is 2 now.
And there's so many more to go.
Okay, I'm going to have to, like, a whole new world has opened up for me.
Basically going to have to start paying dues at the Betty Ford Clinic, right?
Basically, I mean, I'm just going to have to see about getting on that kidney transplant list right now.
Right. Just go ahead and get yourself on it because there's so many good beers out there.
Exactly. My insurance already covers, like, rehab stays. Might as well get some use out of it.
That's right. And everybody can use a vacation. You know what I'm saying?
So which one did you get? You got the older cousin?
I got the younger cousin, Little Bubs.
Ooh.
Little Bubs. Now, Little Bubs is also a session. Well, I'm sorry. It's not also. It's a rosé ale, but it's a session rosé ale.
Okay.
So
the difference
now,
those two.
What'd you say?
What is the difference between those? Like a rosé ale versus a session rosé ale?
Well, now a session beer of any kind. And see, and I didn't know this until just probably like a couple days ago. Excuse me, but a session ale is just basically like a watered down version, like a lower ABV version of another beer. And like before I had looked into this, I only thought that the IPAs offered session ales because, you know, those IPAs are like really high octane, most of them. So, you know, they're really hard. Like drinkability wise, like anything IPA is for me so hard to drink so many of because they're so high in ABV that I feel like I can only like go out to the bar and have one drink because I'm afraid I'll get like a DUI coming home. So like, you know, so the session is just like, you know, drinkability wise, like it's lower ABV. Like Little Bubs is, let's see, it's 4.7. What did you say yours was? Yours was in the 6 range?
Mine is 6.2.
Yeah, so quite a difference there. So, like, while I could, like, knock back a couple of these, you may, like, knock back one of those and be like, hey, good to go. you know. But the little bubs, and what you had said about the can art, the can art is white. So little, I've had bubbles before, and when I had it, I think I'd have to try it again, because I don't know that I was super impressed with it. But at the time when I first tried it, I think I was not as into like sours as I am now, like the Gose beers. And so I would have to try bubbles again. But the can art, it's got the little skull that looks like an apple. So that to me, because I have had Rheingeist cider before. I don't know if you knew this, but they do make two other ciders, I believe. They have like a regular one and then like a dry one.
Okay.
And the cans are white like this. And one of them's red. It has like a red outline. And then the other one's green. And so I already thought by seeing bubbles and little bubs that these were going to be like kind of cidery tasting on there. And knowing that they have other beers too that fall into that category, I think. Like there's another one I want you to try called, I think it's called Wowie. Yeah, it's Wowie. It's pineapple. And pineapple, and I think I'm wanting to say passion fruit, but I'm not positive. But I know it's pineapple. And I know when we went to that tap room the other night, I remember you telling me you really like pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think the can art is very basic. You know, it gives you a little bit of a clue, like you said, that you might be drinking a cider. So that's pretty cool. And the name Little Bubs, I really do like it because I think that's pretty cute. Little Bubs.
I will say, and with the Rheingeist cans that I've seen in the stores, which, by the way, I saw your peach doo-doo at the store today.
I saw that. Oh, it's nasty.
Oh, I almost wanted to buy some. Because
you wanted to vomit in your mouth, then, is basically what you're saying.
If I wanted to vomit in my mouth. It might have been a two, like, hey, if somebody else is buying, then yeah, I'll go ahead and drink it. I don't know.
Well, and you know, I'm not even at that point with that beer anymore. If someone, like, if I were single, which I'm not, but if I were single and somebody was to try to buy me that out of the bar, I would, like, movie style, smack it out of their hands and be like, how dare you?
Would you be, like, grabbing your purse, like, I gotta go.
Right. I am out. Like, if this is your taste in beer, what the hell do you have to offer to a relationship is my question. So, but I cracked my can open before I started the podcast so I could take a, you know, an Instagram snap of this beer poured into a wine. It's a wine glass, but it's got like the gold state of Kentucky on it, you know, had to represent. So I did try this right when we started. And I really do like little bubs. So I'm wondering if I would like bubbles, because like I said, you can, like this does kind of, it does have kind of a sour taste to it.
Yeah.
Like you said. And I like, now that I'm really into the sour beers, I think that's why I like this. Like everything was leading up to me liking this.
Yeah. And I was really surprised that I liked that Spyglass from Urban Artifact when we went out and got those flights last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was probably going to be the last thing in the world next
that you'd like.
Bitter, dark beers.
Yeah.
Like I thought that would be, you know, one step above or one spot above the bitter, dark beers.
Right.
It's like the horrible scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really surprised because, like I said, I'm a cider person. And so one of the ones that I got in my flight was Angry Orchard Crisp Apple.
Mm-hmm.
That one was really good. But when
that is good.
Spyglass next to Angry Orchard, I actually liked the Spyglass better. And I was really surprised. And I think I had another one that, I'm trying to think of the other one I had. I think I had Pumpkin.
You did. Yeah, you had pumpkin.
And I think it was just too warm outside to enjoy that.
I agree. And it's higher ABV too. I think it's something like in the 8s or something like that.
Yeah. And I think maybe if it gets into October and if I were to try it again and it's like in the 60s outside.
Right.
Probably would have been something I've been like, oh, that's not too bad.
Right. And I do think, you know, atmosphere definitely has a lot to do with drinking, especially these beers. Like, you know, like this Little Bubs. So, like, you were talking about you could really taste the cranberry, like the little bit of the bitter of the cranberry. I can definitely taste that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do taste the apple. Like, you know how, like, if you, like, cut an apple up, and you take like a bite, like that first bite out of the slice of the apple, and you kind of taste the skin on the apple. That's what I taste when I drink Little Bubs.
Yeah, that's kind of the same experience that I'm having with the bubbles.
Oh yeah,
like you can kind of feel like that little twinge in the back of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
back of your tongue, like where, you know, if you were to bite into, or not bite into, but like if you were to eat like a lemon head or something,
right.
How you kind of get that sour punch at the back of the underside of your tongue.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's kind of the same thing with this, where you get that real tart taste to it, but mm-hmm. in a bad way.
Right, it's not over the top or anything like that. And I'm wondering, like, I think we should totally, like, put Bubbles and Little Bubs side by side and do a blindfold test.
Yes!
Because I guarantee you that there's not any difference in the taste, and they've just done something to where, you know, they made it that Little Bub's the session ale and it's just lower ABV. I guarantee they about taste the same.
It might be, yeah, it very well might be, but
oh yeah,
I really do enjoy this one. I mean, it's real nice. It's almost kind of like when you bite into a like a Granny Smith apple.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking that too. I mean, that's exactly how I would compare it.
Like, you,
but it's still, there's still that little bit of sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, you really like ciders. When I first started laying off the hard liquors, I
had a problem.
Right, I was like, well, time to downgrade. So I started drinking ciders. I have a friend that moved to Florida, and her and I used to drink. She liked ciders, I think, is how I got into starting to drink them. And we used to drink, like, Woodchuck and all those different ones. And they're very sweet.
Ooh, Woodchuck?
Yeah.
Woodchuck is the one that I avoid at all costs.
Is it?
Yes. Because every time that I've had a Woodchuck, now, granted, like, the kinds that I've had are Woodchuck, Angry Orchard, and I think Strongbow, and...
Oh, Strongbow's good.
There was, like, another one, too. I can't think of the other one. But when I taste a Woodchuck compared to any of the others, Woodchuck always tastes skunked.
Does it?
Yeah.
Now,
I've tried...
And I know there's a lot of different ones, too. Have you had all of them, or is it...
I didn't have all of them, but I did have a variety pack. And I was,
yeah.
Maybe it was just that pack that got skunked somehow. So I gave it a try again a couple months later, and it was the same thing. It had that skunked, bitter taste to it.
Okay.
So,
and you know, and I don't remember, like, as much as I drank of them, I can't believe I don't remember, but I don't. Like, I can't remember if I tasted that about the Woodchucks or not.
Maybe that's what your podcast is. Maybe one fall or winter we'll do some cider reviews.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And apple juices.
Oh, yeah. Adult apple juice. Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, you mentioned Strongbow, and those are one of my favorites. Like, they have a lot of good ones. I feel like, you know, I liked the ciders because they were so sweet. And I'm like you. Like, I never used to really care for beer. You know, because, you know, before the craft beer scene exploded, I mean, really all you had available was like whatever you could find in your parents' fridge. And that, you know, being in the Midwest, that was either, you know, Budweiser, Miller Genuine Draft, Coors Banquet, or, you know, which aren't bad beers, but, you know, I feel like people just drink those to, you know, get drunk. I don't feel like they're like, this tastes amazing.
No. And that honestly, like when I first started drinking beer, so I turned 21 in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So when I turned 21, at that point, there really was not a big craft brew scene.
Oh no, where, definitely not.
I mean, if there might have been a scene, but it was like in the hipsters. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you know, they were there with their flamingo onesies on, with their, you know, the world's weakest lumberjack, and their, you know, red and black flannel, you know, with barely enough energy to like hold up a credit card to pay for their drinks, you know.
Yeah. So. Like literally that was like when you're talking about like you had nothing really except what was in the refrigerator.
Right. And so I wasn't interested in beer at all. Like you, I was into the mixed drinks. And I talked about this in a previous podcast. I thought I had a reputation to uphold, so I would always drink just straight up whiskey or bourbon. But I did like some mixed bourbon drinks and stuff like that. And the only acceptable, and margaritas are always acceptable no matter what kind of drinker you are. No one's going to turn down a margarita.
Hell no.
They're just not. And, but like the frou-frou drinks, you know, I mean, the only, I always thought the only acceptable time to drink one of those was on a beach, but I stand corrected because my sister's been getting me into like all these like tiki drinks and all these like weird ass drinks that she makes, and they're very good. So some of them are shit, but most of them are good. But,
we'll get you jacked up real quick too, depending upon what you got.
Oh, yeah, 100.
Somebody's off drinking, like, 6-7 beers, whereas you have one frou-frou drink, and you're slammed and slaughtering, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Half a drink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I would, but, like, you know, I feel like, you know, I started drinking the ciders, like I said, because they were sweet, and I liked them. But then when I started drinking more of the craft beers, I did try to find some that were more along the sweeter lines. And then I guess my taste buds just kind of, like, my palate just eventually, like, graduated to different tastes, I guess, kind of like wine drinkers do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still really do like the ciders, and I do like a beer that has a sweet taste to it. And that's why I really think you should try that Rheingeist Wowie. It's very sweet.
I'll definitely have to try that. Maybe that'll be one of the ones that I review coming up in the future.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth a drink. It's very good. You wouldn't waste the money on, you wouldn't be wasting your money on a six pack, because I think Rheingeist, a little under $10 for a six pack, or for a six pack can.
Yeah.
Cans, am I right?
I got mine at Aldi's for $9.99.
Yeah, I think they're kind of like Apple products. I think they're the same price no matter where, what store you buy it in.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
A good investment.
Oh, definitely. So what overall rating would you give Bubbles?
I would give this one a 1 hell yeah bartender, pour me another.
Hell yeah. And I would give Little Bubs the same thing. I mean, I'm actually super shocked at how much I like Little Bubs.
I kind of am too, because, I mean, I kind of feel like that's a little frou-frou drinkish, and I remember you had talked about previously, you said that you were kind of not necessarily snubbed frou-frou drinks, but like, mm-hmm. like the wine, like sweeter stuff.
Right.
It didn't really, you know, the pinkies popped out on their wine glass.
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm one of these snoot bitches with their pinkies popped out drinking my Little Bub.
Dude, I drank wine that was like a step above Welch's grape juice that's been sitting out on the counter for too long and might have
started. That sounds amazing.
I have the sweetest wines, and then now I've kind of started, like you said, after a while your taste buds start to change a little bit. You get used to it. And
you do.
And like the less sweet stuff. But
yeah.
But the fact that you were saying, like, you know, you kind of didn't really like wine culture, I was kind of surprised that you like this sweeter drink.
I am too. And, you know, and I'm all about the cult. You know, I'm not about wine culture, but I'm all about the culture that involves hanging with your friends.
Yes.
You know, having a good drink, having good conversation. And here coming up in the fall, I will be smoking my lady pipe, which for if there's any law enforcement officers listening, that is not code word for Mary Jane. That is code word for flavored tobaccos that I buy at Strauss Tobacconist or Jungle Gems.
Yep. Hey, Jungle Gems has got some good selections.
Oh, they do. And I was thinking about a good future podcast would be a live remote from Jungle Gems while we just stand there and make our own six pack and talk about the different beers that we're putting into our six pack.
Let me put this thought out here as well. Did you know that they do tastings there at their bar that they have? And I think both locations, they have a bar there and they will actually pour you a drink that you are allowed to take around the store with you while you go shopping.
Now, I knew you could do that, but I didn't know they did taste tests. Like, I didn't know that. Now, that would be interesting.
I don't think they're like, here, try this. I don't think they do, like, that kind of a tasting. It's like, you know, you're still paying for it, but...
Oh, yeah, can, yeah.
They've got, like, a list of the different types of wines and beers, and you can choose the size that you want them to pour you. And,
Nice.
It's really pretty. It's pretty cheap. My friend and I have gone and done that before and enjoyed a couple of the different wines that they had there, but I've not done that for any beers.
Yeah.
It'd be something that we could do a future podcast as well.
Oh, definitely. I love Jungle Gems anyway. I always like to allot at least 2 hours of my day when I go in there. And they've got everything up there. I mean, they've got like a bubble tea bar, like a kombucha bar, like essential oils bar. I mean, it's a hipster paradise up in there now.
We used to love to go there and look at all the labels of the different salsa and hot sauce jars.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, some of the names on there, I'm like, are they allowed to have that label facing outward where children can see this label?
I know. Like, I think they had one called, like, Hot Snatch Vagina or something like that.
There was one, I think it's called Ass Ripper. And I'm like, I kind of want to get it just to see.
Just to see if I'm going to rip ass tonight. Yeah, I went up there. My nephew, he's really into hot sauces. So I went up there and I bought him some. I mean, not any of those, like, naughty word ones. Because he's, like, he's young.
So, like,
wait, this is hot sauce. Like, if you're that hard up to like steal like $50 and $60 hot sauces, I mean, just give it to them.
Yeah, like at this point, you're fine,
right? Jeez,
that was the days before they had like the Carolina Reapers and all that.
Oh yeah, that's, you know, I saw these guys eating these Carolina Reapers on YouTube, and I'm like, I hope your asshole burns out, because, like, you're stupid.
You just feel like you don't wish people bad until they do something like that, and then you're like,
you know. Exactly! And I was like, I hope you sit on your toilet for a week and don't come off, because that's retarded.
That reminder will be with them for a couple of days of how stupid.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you, speaking of stupid, when we went to that 859 Tap Room Bar and Grill last week, which, by the way, for those of you that live in Northern Kentucky, that used to be called the Brass Tap, and they changed it to that, like, really obviously stupid name to 859 Tap Room. And I don't know if people were getting it confused with a strip club that used to be in Covington called the Brass Ass.
I did get that confused. I was thinking, like, where the hell is she inviting me to go?
Right. Like, are we getting lap dances and flights? What are we doing tonight? Like, I don't know.
Went to a regular bar. We didn't have to go to a strip club. Thanks, Ash.
Right. I know. But yeah, I don't know if that's why they changed it or what. The frat party and did the walk of shame. I mean, that's what she looked like. And she actually told you that, because, you know, you told her that, you know, you were new to the craft beer game.
Mm-hmm.
And so offering her only line of expertise that she knows, which is getting drunk, she says to her, Well, you want to get the ones with the highest ABV, so it'll equal out to one glass of beer. And I'm like, no, you don't. We're both driving home, and it's I think you need flight. To get the
We're getting a flight, so there's not going to be just the one. We're getting four of them.
Right. I'm like, what in the hell? What did reality step out the door here, ma'am? Because,
I mean,
that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Right. And, I mean, maybe she was just like, hey, get the biggest bang for your buck, you know, get the most alcohol.
I think that's what she, and I, you know, and I think her sorority sister mentality was feeding into that.
Kind of like the whole, hey, if you're going to go out and drink, might as well get a whole bunch of it.
Right. And, you know, so when she left there, she probably did a keg stand, you know. So.
I mean, you know what? Like, if I was 25, I would have been right there along with her and been like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds like a really good idea.
Right, let's get spammed.
Right? I'm a few months shy of 35 now, and I'm like, I gotta work tomorrow.
Right, you're like, I gotta work tomorrow, and I'm old.
Drive home. I got a dog to go home to.
Right. My biggest fear now is, damn it, if I fall again, I'm gonna break something this time.
You're gonna be calling Life Alert.
Beer Baroness is a mom now, guys. I can't be acting like a fool when I go out like that anymore. I'm married. I've got a kid. I've got two dogs. What are they going to think? What are those dogs going to think?
They will be judging you so harshly. That's for
they
sure.
They will. They will. And, you know, and I'm sure there's, you know, all those people that feed their dogs beer, but I think that's alcohol abuse. Because those dogs don't really enjoy the beer like you would.
I will say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I have seen ads. Well, not necessarily ads, but I've seen, like, posts on Facebook. And I know that you can't trust everything you read on the internet. But I've seen posts.
You can?
Well, You might be able to. I cannot. I've been burned. I've been burned by those. You know, when you put out that post and you are just 100% sure of everything in there, even though you haven't read it, you go put out that post, and then all of a sudden somebody comes back that you agree with and kind of proves you wrong. You're like, daggone it, I should have read that. But I have seen posts on Facebook, and I have seen pins on Pinterest that has said that there is a dog beer brewing line. And I'm like, how does that work, and how is PETA not protesting that? Maybe they are. I'm not sure.
Listen, the next step, if that is true, you know, the next step will be Sarah McLachlan making a commercial with in the funneling beer, the dog brewing beer into their dog's mouth, and Sarah McLachlan will be singing that.
Those dogs might be like, though, no, really, I'm okay. I don't need any money. I just need beer money. I am absolutely fine. Keep doing what you're doing. But if you're going to send money, pay my
Right. Right. You know, I'm just looking for the day when my dog comes up to me. Can I get a 10 spot for a 6-pack? No, sir. No,
like,
sir.
Get some Rheingeist?
Right. Yeah, you can drink the beast, buddy.
I was going to say, with tax, it comes out to more than 10, but Aldi already has tax included in it.
Hey, I didn't even know Aldi sold beer.
Yeah, they actually had a couple different types of beer, and I don't know if they have wine. They might have wine, but yes, they do sell beer.
Well, see, I don't know if you're a Costco, but what I was saying was Costco. You know, they have their own brand of everything. So me and my husband always make fun of it when we go into the Costco liquor store. Because, I mean, I'm not ashamed to buy my diamonds where I get my salsa. But I will tell you that I think it's crazy that Kirkland's, which is like the Costco brand, they have like their own brand of pretty much everything. They've got their own brand of craft beers. And I'm a little
skeptical. I don't know. That might have to be another podcast.
It might be. And, you know, we can broadcast live from the Costco.
We're out here tailgating at the Costco parking lot in Kentucky.
Kirkland's best IPA. That would be hilarious. They would come out and they'd be like, excuse me, ladies, why do you have a grill out here? Be like, what you need to be concerned with is that the beer we're drinking
Although,
is
Kirkland's. Doesn't the Florence Freedom have their stadium, like, right across the road from that? Dude, we can have a fireworks
Pretty
show,
much,
too, because
yeah.
don't they always have fireworks at the end? That's what we can tailgate
oh,
for.
Oh, yeah,
the
they do.
Parking lot.
I mean, I'm ready to go tailgate at Costco. And I mean, you know, if we run out of food,
that's
we can
true.
Always
Maybe
go in and
do
get
the
free
samples.
Samples
first, so we don't get smashed from tailgating.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, we can buy that big crate of and that's the thing, you know, you're buying in bulk. So you're getting a big bulk of Kirkland's best beer.
And then like the big 10-pound you know. Thing of Cheez-Its and just sitting there eating and drinking.
Oh yeah. Be like we're out here having a podcast and tailgating. Don't you worry about us.
I thought
they
closed
at 9 though. You know, I think
you know
you're
what,
right.
Though,
that's
I mean,
some
I'd let
shit.
My Costco membership lapse. So I was supposed to renew it last month and I didn't.
Oh. Girl, you can't let that Costco membership last.
I'm going to have to renew that thing.
Where are you going to get your economy size box of unsweetened vanilla almond?
I'm going to have to slum it at Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah. Sam's Club is like the Newport of, what do you call those stores? I'm feeling the effects of Little Bubs.
Okay.
What do you call those stores?
Oh,
warehouse
like big box
stores. Warehouse stores.
I feel
yeah,
like
big
Sam's
box
Club
stores.
Is
yeah.
The Costco for the 55-plus community.
You know what it is. Because, and I used to have a Sam's membership until, you know, the new sparkly diamond stud at Costco rolled into town with their better free samples and with their shiny, flashy people at the
it reels
front door.
You in too,
man. I'm just kidding. They don't have those kind of people.
But it reels you in too.
What? Oh, it does. And you know, and I think the fact that they sell churros is probably the leading factor in why I have a membership.
I used to do keto for a while, so I would go there and get like all my keto stuff, and then I'm like, I'm just gonna sit here and eat all keto junk food, and I'm not gonna pound, but man, it's gonna taste good, and it'll be economical.
Exactly. I mean, where else can you get toilet paper, bison beef jerky, and diamonds and salsa all
there
in
might
one
be
place.
A few stores, but at those places, not very many.
There might. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's amazing
yeah.
that they have a pizza hotline. They need a churro hotline, too, the way my kid eats them. I'll be like, we're coming in. We'll be in 2 minutes. I need you to have a bottle of water, 2 churros, and an economy size box
They're gonna
of
have,
unsweetened
like,
vanilla almond milk.
Costco. Sorry, how did Costco get onto Uber Eats?
That'd be amazing. They'll be like, ma'am, this trip just cost you like $20 for a $1.50 churro. Be like, don't judge me. Okay? That's a big churro. I could split that with somebody. If
See, this
I
is what I mean
to.
When I was like, I hope I'm not supposed to be the responsible person here. Because I will derail this train.
Oh, girl, my train's been derailed for a long time. I'd like to say I'm responsible, but we all know my husband's the responsible party.
Well, at least there's
in
one.
This relationship. Right. Like, you know, you have to have that person that's willing to just accept the fact that when you go out for drinks that she's probably going to have more than one. So.
This is true.
You always got to have that.
So, I never heard, what did you give your...
Well,
you're kind of bringing it back to. the craft beer subject. What did you give your little bubs? I don't remember if you told me or not.
I gave little bubs. I don't think I did because I got so derailed. I'm giving little bubs. Hell
so
yeah.
Sweet.
Hit me again, bartender.
So we're in agreement.
With my pinky popped, you know?
Although
you know,
I can't
you gotta
really
have
pop
your pinky popped.
Well, I mean, I guess
one.
I could pop my pinky on here, but with this one, I didn't put it in a wine glass, but I do have a beer glass that is etched with the Harry Potter glasses and the lightning scar that I put my bubs in.
That is badassery right there. And I really need to get into the Harry Potter stuff because I've been wanting to. I don't know why I've held back and you know, not been on that train, but
well,
I need to get on
it. I wonder if there's a craft brewery that does butter beer.
Oh my God. Seriously, you need to let me know when you and your girls go back or when you go to the Ren Fest because I told you when I went up there on opening weekend, there was something written on the board that said butter beer. And I didn't get it because I thought it was like that soda that they sell at like the candy stores, mm-hmm. which is really good, but I didn't want it. But I don't think it was because it was at like one of the little beer stations.
Well, I think we're planning on going sometime in October, so we'll have to plan our October since, you know, with us being in the Northern Kentucky Cincinnati area, there's so many different Oktoberfests, and I know that we wanted to get to some of the Oktoberfests too.
Is.
Which, by the way, I went to the Oktoberfest down in Mainstrauss this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I had never been to the previous one. So
right.
Those of you that live in the area, the Northern Kentucky area, Mainstrauss is a, what'd you call it? I guess just like a neighborhood within Covington.
Yeah. It's a really
German,
old like settlement. It's like a Germanic
It's got like
settlement.
A clock tower that has like the little mechanized. I forget what those are called. Is it a
Goebel Park, right? And
yes,
called?
Yes. Yeah. But it's got
it's pretty cool.
It is like the architecture and everything is very, like you said, Germanic. But Mainstrauss Village Association put on a Oktoberfest every year for like the last 40 years. Until this past year, I guess their attendance had started to slip, and they used Oktoberfest really as something that would bring in money for the Village Association. And without all that extra money coming in, they had to basically file for bankruptcy. So the owner of Braxton Brewery looked at that, and he's like, man, you know what? This is something that has happened for the last 40 years. It was a big part of me growing up. You know, one of a family tradition of going down to Mainstrauss because they used to have, you know, rides for the kids and everything.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I remember.
I'd never been to it before. Like, I'd heard about it, but I'd never been to it. So, like, people were going, man, this, you know, used to be so much bigger and everybody would come down here for Mainstrauss Oktoberfest. And I'm like, I've never been.
Yeah, I had been a couple times. And even so, it's been a couple years since I went, but even the last time I went, because they do several Germanic festivals down there, like Mayfest, M-A-I, like that's all German. Like,
which Mayfest didn't go on this year either.
You know what? I think I remember that not happening. And that's always, like, ever since I've been in this area, which is my whole life, basically, like that's always happened. And they always had stuff for the kids. Like, we took my son down to it was the Oktoberfest. We took my son down too, and they still had the rides and everything for the kids, so they really must have took a dive. Did Braxton's give money?
Braxton, the guy that owned Braxton Brewery, he's like, you know what? This was a tradition for my family. It was a tradition for me going there and going to Oktoberfest every year. I'll put it on. So he put on Oktoberfest this year down there in Mainstrauss.
I had no idea. That is amazing.
He put on Oktoberfest, and it was, from what I heard, a lot smaller than what it had been in years past. But I think that, you know, we can give him a break since it was his first time hosting Oktoberfest, whereas the Village Association had always done it in the past. So it was basically just right there in Goebel Park. And not on any of the side streets. Like, the side streets, there was nothing there except for, like, you know, just the normal businesses along
there. Oh, yeah, because before they had like food trucks down there, vendors, like everything. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's sad. I mean, I'm happy on one hand because that's awesome that because that's another thing that I like about craft beer. They really, like, any of the breweries, honestly, in any area, because craft beer is really starting to grow in a lot of states. This guy came into where I work today, and he had on a t-shirt that said Snake River Brewing Company, and it's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be going to Wyoming here soon. And I thought to myself, damn, I didn't even know they had a craft beer scene out there. Like, you know, I had no idea. But, like, yeah. I think is really promote a real sense of community and like being proud of the community you live in, and that just sounds like something that, you know, that really sounds like Braxton has that mindset.
Yeah, and I remember when I saw that you had started up this podcast because you and I are friends on Facebook, and I remember seeing your first couple of episodes were being posted, and I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun, except I don't know what craft beer is and I don't think I like beer.
Right.
And you were like, girl, let me tell you. Right. So I actually did research to try to find out, like, what is craft beer? Because I had no clue what it was. Like I said, I always thought it was, like, hipster beer was essentially right. What I thought it was.
Right.
And that was one of the things that I found out in doing that research is that a lot of those craft breweries do go and perform a lot of community. Mm-hmm. Well, if I say community service, it makes it sound like, you know, they were incarcerated and, you know, are having to pay penance, but like they do a lot of community involvement type stuff where, you know, it's very philanthropic. That's the word I'm looking for. They do a lot of philanthropic outreach and
right.
really give back to the communities that they're in.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, that is a big portion of a lot of them. And, I also found out that, that Rheingeist distribute obviously to Ohio and Kentucky. They distribute to Indiana, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania.
And they do down in I think Nashville too.
Do they?
I think someplace down in Tennessee, Nashville or Knoxville, I think.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I was talking to another. I had a slew of friends just move to Florida, like, in this past, like year or 2 years. And one of my friends that moved to Florida, she told me that they do have a craft beer scene down there, but not like it is up here.
No, we're lucky here in this area that we do have the and I don't know if I'm cutting out because I think it sounds like I'm starting to cut out a bit.
I think I was cutting out too.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear that about the Florida craft brewery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And yeah, what I was so. Trying to say was that I think here we're lucky that Cincinnati area has a history of breweries and is really seeing a resurgence in the brewing industry here. And I mean, it's happening down here in Northern Kentucky too. I don't know so much about over in Indiana because where we're located, it's right there at the corner of those three states where they kind of intersect: Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. I know that there's wineries kind of close to the Indiana border because I used to live over in Indiana.
Yeah,
but I don't know that there's really any beer breweries over there.
Right. Oh, in Indiana?
Yeah.
No,
at least there, not
there
when
are
I lived
some.
There.
There are some in Indiana. My tongue, but I know Three Floyds is definitely in Indiana. But the So, and I don't know if you knew this, but down in Covington, like
is that
in the year
1866,
the Bavarian Brewing Company was established down in Covington.
I want to say it's like right there if you get off at MLK Boulevard, and it used to be Jillian's. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
That's exactly where I knew it from.
And they still have,
because one of my friends used to live down there right off
side of the building.
MLK. She lived over by one of the cemeteries right there, actually. And I would come back from her place whenever I would go over there, and I would see that big Bavarian Brewing Company with the rooster mural on the back of Jillian's. Which they're turning it into, I think, the Kenton County Administration Building.
Oh, yeah.
Not much at all, probably.
So,
but that's been sitting empty for so long, too. But
how fun.
Right?
It has. So they had to fill it somehow. They should have filled it with a brewery. They should have. But yeah, you... you being new to the craft beer scene, there's definitely so many good breweries in the area. There's a few in this right around this area that I haven't hit up yet, like Alexandria Brewing. Supposedly, because I know you still
the same place
you still
that you
work
and I both used
for,
to work
for
the
company. I don't want to give too much personal information out about you because I don't. Exactly. So the same place that you and I both used to work.
Like walk the floors.
I heard that the founder
walk
of Alexandria
like, hello,
Brewing
anybody used
worked
to
there
brew
as well.
Anything?
That's what my cousin told me. Right. But there's so many good breweries out there. You know, Rheingeist is a good brewery. It's super big, spacious.
Ooh.
It's always crowded. We're going to Braxton's.
You know
next
what? I do
want to
go to their rooftop
wedding.
Bar.
Yeah, it'll be on
that.
The rooftop.
Especially
so
when it's nice
romantical.
Outside, which
it's
yes,
nice.
Like it's been for the past couple of days. Which for those
oh
of
yeah,
who
when
don't
it's not
know,
like you're not
been,
like sweating.
Today was what
bucket.
91, I think. And then I think tomorrow is supposed to be kind of the same. It's been in like. The upper 80s, low 90s, and
right.
It's September,
yeah.
Y'all. It needs to start dropping down. I don't think it's supposed to start dropping down until after next week, but I am ready for fall weather and for, you know, basically hoodie weather is what I'm ready for.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to definitely
I'm ready
come
for
over there
and
fire do that
and
once the weather turns nicer. We'll
and having some beer.
Sit around a crackling
and
fire.
Chili.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We will have a fire.
There was actually, as
yes,
I was
I like
doing my
craft
beer
fires.
Research.
Which that makes
I,
all the difference.
Like I said before, I had to look it up and find out what a craft beer was. Because I had no clue. Again, I thought it was just hipster beer. So did... Okay, well, first of all, challenge accepted.
Right. Well, I expect you to cite your sources on a reference page.
Challenge accepted. Thank you very much. So there is actually, if you go
challenge
to
accepted.
The Brewers Association, they actually set standards for what a craft beer or craft brewery is. And there's actually, which I didn't know this beforehand, because, I mean, again, I was just thinking craft beer equals hipster beer. That's pretty much all I thought I knew.
Right.
I thought it was just like
you
bitter,
were thinking
dark beers, and
they
that was
are drinking
all it was.
This while they're pickling
and,
everything
you know,
inside.
Thank God I was wrong. But they actually had, according to the Brewers Association,
right.
Which I didn't see anybody else that had a say in this as I was doing my research. The Brewers Association basically has 3 points that a craft brewery has to hit. And so the first thing that they have to do for a craft brewery, they have to get what's called a TTB brewer's notice, which probably is not going to be inexpensive. So the brewer's notice for the TTB, it's basically where you have to send a application in to the TTB. I think that their acronym is missing a few letters there. but it's the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. So you have to send them a notification or a notice application saying, hey, I intend to make more than the amount that you're allowed to make without a permit for something other than family or personal use, which you can only make like a certain amount of beer, certain number of gallons of beer for personal or family use per year without having to get a permit. That right there is a good Ron Swanson insert of where he would probably have some kind of a tirade against regulations. Yeah. Wait, I can only make up to 100 gallons per person in my family. Actually, you can do up to 200 gallons per household. It's like, wait a minute, I have to get a permit after that? You gotta be kidding me. Exactly. He just spin around in his chair.
And to that, Ron Swanson would say, good day.
So for the Brewers Association, they say, okay, well, that notice, that brewer's notice, you have to have that notice. So you have to basically be accepted by the TTB has to say, okay, application is accepted. So you have to do that. And then you also have to be small, which I was like, okay, well, what's small considered? Like, you know, 200 gallons, you know, that 201 gallons, is that considered small? It's actually 6 million barrels of beer or less per year. So that still sounds like a hell of a lot of beer, but that's what they consider to be small for a craft brewery. And then they also have to be independent. That's the third thing that they have to hit, is they have to be independent. Oh, okay. And when they say independent, if there is a member of the beverage alcohol industry that's not a craft brewer itself that owns 25% or more of that craft brewery is no longer considered craft.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's what I wondered about Sam
Adams.
That
I don't know, because I don't know how much they make per year, and I don't know if
they're not really considered craft 25% anymore,
or more ownership from, like, Anheuser-Busch or somebody else, you know what I mean? But, like, let's say...
I do not know.
That
Don't they? Anheuser-Busch owns Sam Adams, but
if in fact they owned 25% or more of Sam Adams, if Anheuser-Busch were to own them, because of the fact that they are not small, then Sam Adams no longer would have that craft brewery status per the Brewers Association. Now, whether or not they can still call themselves a craft brewery, maybe they can still call themselves a craft brewery, but they don't get that certification seal, which the Brewers Association just came up with a seal 2 years ago, back in 2017. And so I know, looking at my can right now, let me spin it around here. So it's got a Brewers Association certified independent craft mark on it. And I'm sure yours probably does too, since it's by Ryan Geis. Yeah, upside down bottle inside of a rectangle, basically.
Yeah,
so if you see
like
that
an upside
seal
down bottle
on your bottle or on your can, that means that the Brewer Association has determined, yes, this hits all of the marks of a craft brewery, so this is certified as a independent craft beer. Indeed. And the seal itself, so you know how you were just saying it's an upside down bottle?
That's interesting to know.
So the reason that they have that upside down bottle on there is kind of symbolic of, they're saying, okay, the craft beer industry is turning the beer market itself upside down. That's just a little 1-2 punch for them. Right on the end of the nose.
Well, that is...
Exactly.
Yeah. No doubt.
I did, but I didn't find out if Anheuser-Busch owns Sam Adams.
Sounds like
that part I was negligent.
Sounds like you did some major research there. No, I thought that they did. I'm gonna have to find that out. I had pulled all the different beer styles that are offered for all of the craft beer options. And there's so many of them. Like, there's no way we could go through all of them in one podcast. And, you know, but the what's funny is Bubbles and Little Bubs, I honestly think that it doesn't fall into one category. I think it falls into the cider category, and I think it falls into, like, just a, not a, there's, like, a couple of gose categories, like an American gose and a contemporary gose, and I don't really think
I don't even know what gose means.
Those two fall into so I can tell either you. Of those categories. I don't. G-O-S-E.
So the kind that I like, then.
It's basically like the sour beers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so, there's like, they're acidic. Yeah. Yeah, because you like that Spyglass from Urban Artifact, and that's a gose. But I don't, I just don't think it, that, I don't it think it does, falls into any of those.
I mean,
categories.
I don't know if yours tastes the same as mine.
I think it's in a category on its
less
own.
Alcoholic, but
like, maybe.
Mine, like you were saying, does taste very cidery.
Yeah, it mine does too. And I mean, it's got the sour to it, but it's still, you know, it's still, I just don't think it's a contemporary gose, and I don't think it's an American gose either. I think it's, but I mean, it's, you know, most of the goses, though, they have that, they have like fruity aromas, fruity taste, and they're,
it's very,
you know, it's like
very
that.
Tart,
so,
that's for sure. And I do
I mean,
like
you can
that.
Definitely taste the
I
fruit
do like
in
that
it,
on this
so,
one.
You know, it is tart, but it's not, oh, I do like the tartness, but it's not the most tart I've ever had either, so. And I think that peach dodo is super tart, and it just, it's so tart that I like I said in my review of it, it tastes like that welling of vomit that comes up in the back of your throat when you're getting ready to
like,
puke.
Like, I almost, like I said, I
peach
almost
dodo
bought
tastes
that
like
today
to me.
Because I was like, it can't
peach
be that.
Peach dodo. I don't care for it.
I almost plopped down that $10 for the six pack.
Right. Well, yeah. Peach Cobblestone Nitro. And that's another thing. Like, Rheingeist has, like, all these other types of beers. Like, these Nitro versions. They're in, like, a tall boy can. And I don't know if that's why they call it Nitro. Because I thought at first maybe it was going to be called Nitro because it was stronger. But that's not the case at all. It's still very low ABV. Mm-hmm. And then they've got these Outer Reaches beers that comes in, like, these, like, fancier-looking bottles. And I've actually never had any of those. So those are, like, beers that you can't really find at the grocery store. You're going to want to go to places, specialty places like Party Town in Newport, Party City in Florence. But mostly Party Town and Newport. I know they carry a lot of Rheingeist specialty stuff. And then obviously their tap
room. Maybe
you can get that. But yeah, I'll have to let you have. I have a few left in my fridge. I'll have to bring you some of them. Because they're better than the peach doo-doo. But
you know what? I'm wondering.
But not by much.
And I know that this isn't beer related, but kind of like, you know how with start. Yes, can you hear me?
Hello?
I can hear you.
Still recording.
Okay.
Great. I don't know. I think when you we're on our podcast because we're not together. We're both at our houses, and so I think there's some, you know, technical glitches on that end. But we'll
just
be working
to do all of
hard
our,
to make sure that
all of
that
our podcasts in the same room instead of broadcasting from our secret underground layers.
That'll remedy that.
Separately. Which mine is not underground.
Oh, yeah. What was Skeletor's lair called? That was so cool.
Oh.
You know Skeletor from He-Man? What was his lair called? That was so cool. Snake Mountain or something like that?
No, I don't. Was it? Was it Grayskull or?
That was where He-Man lived.
Yeah, this took a turn.
I can't believe I'm talking about He-Man right now, but it did. It really. See, I'm telling you, this is how my mind operates.
Go wake,
Go wake your boy up and see if he can maybe like bring us back on track.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he would be talking about He-Man. He's a He-Man fan. He would. But he'd be like, I'll tell you right now. But first off. So I think we've said about all we can say about Bubbles and Little Bubs. I mean, you know, we're both telling you,
especially
that,
if
yeah,
you
need to
like
go out and buy
cider
beers.
Type beers, or if you like ciders themselves, or really mm-hmm. anything sweet, leaning towards
right.
tart.
Mm-hmm. And these are good. Both available all year around. So it's right because some beers aren't, and so you know you want to make sure that. You know, you're getting your beers. If you have favorite beers and they're only available a certain amount of time, like my bestie, she really likes Hop Slam from Bell's Brewery. And apparently it's only available a certain time of year, which it doesn't sound like a good beer to me because I'm not usually a fan of like super hoppy
beer. I don't know if
I've
ever had hoppy
beer
before.
That's what that is. But,
That'll be part of my experience.
Oh, well, you should. So you can. Exactly. But yeah, so I think the next time around we'll be talking about, I think, the Oktoberfest beers. I really think that's going to be a great thing
to
segue into.
I think next weekend, so not this weekend, but the following weekend is the Cincinnati Oktoberfest. I believe.
Oh.
I'd have to look that up. I'd have to do more research. more alcohol research.
Yes.
Like
more research.
Looking at this.
That's the kind of research.
But yeah,
that
I think that's
kind.
Next weekend. So maybe we can go there and sample a couple of different brews there.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to because I'm sure everybody's going to be representing down there. You know, Braxton, Ryan Geist, Taft,
Mad Tree.
Oh, yeah, Urban Artifact. They're all be representing Mad Tree. I always forget about Mad Tree. I don't know
I've
why
been there
I like
one
them
time,
lot, but I forget
and
about
And I don't even remember what I got when mm-hmm. I was there. I think I was like, sure, that sounds good. I have no clue what this word means, but sure. And then, and I think I ended up getting...
Sure, let's have it.
I don't remember what it was. It was like some kind of like a chocolate one, and then there was a raspberry one too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had that one, and it's like cacao something, nibs or something. I don't know. It's good.
Yeah, and...
I liked it.
I don't know at the time if I really enjoyed it.
Right.
So,
and, you know, you may have to try again, you know.
Update. So, according to Bing... Cincinnati Oktoberfest 2019 is September 20th to 22nd.
That is next weekend.
Yes, it is. We might have to clear our schedules.
I think we might. Maybe, you know, we have that wedding. Maybe we can roll on down to Oktoberfest after we hit that wedding up.
Oh, and you know what? They've got running of the wieners. You'll have to bring your dog.
Girl, I did enter Ava in that one year, and she was on TV and in the newspaper.
What? She's gonna have to come back for a rematch.
She's gonna have to. I mean, she's old, but she's quick as hell.
There you go. So yes, you're definitely gonna have to go then.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, it's all 3 days, so I mean, the wedding's just one day. They're not getting married all weekend long.
Thank God.
But yeah, we'll have to do that. Maybe
we
take
will
some pictures and stuff for the Insta.
Oh yeah, because we're gonna be having we gotta figure this joint and so out. We got lots to do, people. We got lots to do. Because as you see,
go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying, as you can see, this works better as a joint partnership.
We'll definitely have to get the social media rolling.
Oh yeah,
get an email set up, all that stuff.
Okay. I'm a social media whore. I love it so.
I spend
all
more
right.
time on there than I'm supposed to, I'm sure.
Oh, I know I do. My phone tells me.
your little screen time app.
It does. It's like, bitch.
You on Facebook again?
But. Yeah. So, yeah. But I hope everybody enjoyed this installment of the new podcast. If you have any, suggestions for a new show name, I'm going to go ahead and put my picture up tonight on the Insta under the Beer Baroness Instagram. And if you want to make some suggestions, we're open. And we're open also to, if you want us to try different beers, we're open to do that too. So just hit us up. And this, we'll be having the new Instagram with
but if you guys do have any dark beer recommendations, send them to her, not me.
I'll drink whatever you want me to.
I'll drink like the little shot glass size of it and be like, let me don't pour me a full.
Right.
Just give me a little. I just want a little.
Just a smell.
Let me take a sip out of the other side of your glass.
I hope everybody has a great weekend. And stay thirsty.
Everybody drinks responsibly.
Yes, drink responsibly. Uber if you have to. My husband is upstairs clanging and banging. I'm not sure what's happening up there.
Maybe he's doing dishes.
I'm hoping that's what he's doing. I left them for him specifically.
Oh, that's the bad part about living alone is that I have to do all my own dishes. I can't foist them off on anybody else.
You need to teach that dog to do that dishes.
Well, she's not allowed to lick the plates clean, so.
Right. Well, you know.
She's got kidney disease. She's got the beginning stages of kidney disease, so she is not allowed any human food. However, comma, I am allowed to give her steamed vegetables. That's all she can have.
Poor doggy.
So she is not allowed to be the dishwasher.
No
dishwashing duties for her.
No, ma'am.
She's still sprightly though in her old age.
Sprightly. That's how my miniature doxy is. She's sprightly, jaunty, jaunty. And the only reason why jaunty means is because when I go to get gas at my local gas station, like, they think it's important that they put word of the day on there. I don't know if that's because we live in a hip podunk town and they like want to put a little bit of culture into
while
your
you're
life
here.
When you're pumping your gas. And they're like, jaunty is the word of the day. Have you ever heard that? You live in Grant County, so I'm going to bank that you don't.
There's a possibility that you may need to use this word in the future.
Right, because how many conversations have you had and you're like, man, he was so jaunty yesterday.
I think it was maybe one time that I used the word jaunty in a conversation and I meant to say jousting.
Right. Right. I think the crew that I hang with and like my family, if I was to bring up the word jaunty, my ass. What the hell are you talking? Don't ever speak like that around.
It's like, what are you talking about?
But I... stay tuned for episode of whatever we're going to call this podcast to be determined. It's for right now, I think it should just be called TBD.
Yes, until we come up with a name. We have no clue what we're going to call ourselves. We've got ideas. We just don't know, exactly where those ideas are going to go yet. But I am excited.
Right. You have a great weekend, my friend.
Alrighty, have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you, you too. And I will talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.